He brought the plagues upon Egypt. He did all the things necessary to cause Pharaoh to deliver them out of Egypt. And they went into the promised land. And in the promised land, God began to give them a plan. And the plan he gave them was he saved them out to bring them in to the promised land, which is a picture of the spirit-filled life. When our soul, as I've talked about the last couple of Sundays, the enemy has planted within our soul weeds, giants, spirits, things that would hinder us from doing what God has called us to do. And so therefore, we have to go into the wilderness and learn the plan of God and what he wants us to do. And it's very interesting with Israel what they did. Most of Israel said to God, "We don't want to really be close to you. We just want to kind of go to church and stand back a little bit and not get too close. We don't want you really coming into our life and rearranging anything. We just want you to save us and take us to heaven." Now that's what the majority of the ones that came out of Egypt said to God. And because of that, God gave them the Ten Commandments. And he said, "Okay, you don't want to be close to me. You don't want me to be part of your life. You don't really, you just want me to save you and take you to heaven. Then the rest of your life, you're going to have to follow the Ten Commandments." And it turned out, as God knew in the first place, they couldn't follow the Ten Commandments. And so all it did was make them feel guilty and confused the rest of their life. Most of them died in the wilderness. But a small percentage, actually two people, decided to go into the promised land that God had for them. But there was a problem, and God made it very clear what the problem was. He said, "There's giants in the land." Now to Israel, their land was that real estate over there called Israel. But to us, it's our soul. There were things planted in our soul before we were saved, even after we're saved if we didn't follow God. And so we have these things to contend with, and God wants us, in conjunction with him, to go in and clean the giants out of our life. When we clean the giants out of our life, then we can follow God in a whole, complete, blessed way. And that's what God wants for you and I. So by grace he saved us, by grace he keeps us, and by grace he will take us into the promised land and with our cooperation deal with the giants. Because God doesn't want us feeling guilty the rest of our life. We feel guilty, you know, if we keep God at a distance, and a lot of Christians do. Can you do that? Yes, you can. You say, "Thank you, God, for saving me, but I'll take over here." And usually what happens, you feel guilty if you're not in church once a week, or you feel guilty about this, or you feel guilty about something else. And you spend your whole life feeling guilty about things. You feel guilty about your past sin. You feel guilty about things you've done wrong. You feel guilty about bad decisions. And that's not the Christian life that God wants you and I to live. So he wants us to, with his power, to break the power of the enemy in our lives. That's what he wants to do. And it starts when you get up in the morning. When you get up in the morning, you should be thinking two things. Number one, I have a God that loves me unconditionally. I had the God that wants the best for me. I have a God that wants to be with me in heaven for eternity. And I have a God that wants to walk through this day with me, and we'll go through this together. Now the second thing, I have an enemy. that wants to stop me from following God during the day. I have an enemy that wants to stir up the giants in my life so that I can't follow God like I'd like to and feel guilty. Now, those two things are true every single morning when you get up. Because you have several hours during the day that you're going to work this all out in your life. Now, the enemy is three things: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world tries to draw us into itself, get all you can, accumulate everything you can, make as much money as you can, come to a place where everybody's going to think you're wonderful, and that's the world. The flesh is basically kind of the same thing. You just want everybody to like you. And then you got the devil who wants to destroy your life. He can't destroy your life as a Christian, but he can destroy what God wants to do in your life if you don't cooperate with the Lord. So we have responsibility, and a lot of people don't like responsibility. And a lot of people don't, particularly when they talk about religion. Keep responsibility out of this. I don't want to be responsible for anything. And I certainly don't want to be responsible to God. Well, if you want to get your life where God wants you to have it, then you're going to have to be responsible to God. And I'm going to tell you today how to begin the process of getting rid of these giants that everybody has at one stage or another, some more than others. But everybody has something that they have to deal with in their life. And some of it came from the past, some of it came from the present. But God uses these things to make us stronger in Him as we deal with these things in life, and then we're going to be more able to follow God. In fact, God says, if you want to just remain in the wilderness and not really get serious about the things of God, you'll go to heaven, but you're going to lose rewards and you're going to lose responsibility in heaven that God wants to give you. The only ones that are really going to get rewards and the only ones that are going to get positions in the kingdom of God are those people that go into the promised land of their life, their soul, and with God's help and power, remove the giants so that God can do through you to a lost world what He wants to do. Many people do not ever lead anybody to Jesus Christ. Now listen to me carefully. Many people do not lead anybody to Jesus Christ because they have compromised with the giants in their life. They have compromised with the giants in their life. Because God wants to bring us to a place where He can fill us with our love, with His love, and He can't fill us with His love if we're filled up with other things, and we're calling them giants. If you really want to get technical, they're demonic powers that just set up in your soul, and somebody says, "Whoa, I don't want to hear about that." Well, you got them. It's kind of like having roaches in your house, and I'll just ignore them. And I'll make sure that when I turn the lights on at night, I close my eyes so I won't see them creeping across the floor. And that's exactly what a lot of people do in their Christian life. And I don't want God to deal in this area. And I don't want God to do this to my life. And you know, I'm just not ready for that. And all that kind of thing. And that is compromising with the giants. Now, I've done it. I'm preaching to myself today. I've compromised with the giants. And until I understood the truth of this whole thing, I thought it was just a normal Christian life. Until I learned better and began to study the Word of God. And God had a plan for Israel. He said, those of you that want to go into the land, He said, I'm going to show you how to do it through a guy named Joshua. And when you study what Joshua did to take the children of Israel into the promised land, you'll find out how God can use those principles for you to be prepared to do what God wants you to do. Now, that's the way this works. Now, every one of us should get to a point at some place in our Christian life where we're not only excited about Jesus, we want to tell other people. And if you're not at that stage yet, you're still in the battle of this battle we're talking about with the giants. If you have no joy, you don't have any of these things, you have compromised somewhere with the enemy. And that's always a bad thing. One of the sad things today is our government's trying to compromise with the enemy, and it's going to lead us down the wrong road. Are you listening to me? We need to pray for them. I'm talking about both sides of the aisle. I'm not picking on any party. I'm saying the whole bunch of them. And they don't understand the truth. If they understood the truth of the matter, that there's an enemy out there that wants to take over every country in the world, including the United States, and rule everything in the world, if they understood that and understand what's happening according to God's timetable, they would be doing things differently, but they don't understand. But you can understand because you have the Word of God. You see, God does, His people are not to be ignorant according to what the Word of God says. We're supposed to know what the truth is, whether the leadership in this country does or not. We need to know the truth so we can pray properly, for one thing. Now, how do you deal with these whole things? Let's get in the Word of God, and you can write these scriptures down. We're going to get as far as we can today, and if we don't finish, we'll finish up next time, but we'll get it. All right. I want you to go to the book of Joshua. Joshua, Moses, incidentally, did not lead them into the promised land. And somebody says, I don't understand why God didn't let Moses lead him in the promised land. Well, I can tell you why he didn't. Because Moses represented the law of God, and Joshua represents the Spirit of God. That's why. The law cannot take you into the land of your life, your soul, and clean it up. It can only show you what's wrong. The law cannot make you complete. The law can bring you to the place where you want to be complete, but it can't make you complete. The law can only go so far. The law cannot save you. It can only show you you're a sinner and you need Jesus. The law cannot save you. The thing that saves you is the cross and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing, you see. That's what will save you. Now, we need to know the truth of these things as we go along. Okay, let's go to Joshua, and we want to go to chapter 1 and verse 1, because God starts from the very beginning, and I want to show you this very quickly. Joshua 1:1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, they could have stayed right there, put a great tombstone on Moses, wherever they think he was buried, and then they could worship Moses the rest of their life and not go into the promised land. People do that. Somebody said one thing a Christian's life is not to be is a museum of past things. It's death. It's over. It's done. Good, bad, whatever. God never wants us to make a shrine out of anything in the past or anybody. So Moses died. God hid Moses' body so they wouldn't make a shrine out of it, because they would have if they had the chance. And we're not to make a shrine out of anybody's life. Death is a place where you start new. You start fresh. You start sometimes over. And That's what salvation is, death to the old and alive to the new. Amen? Amen, you see. So this is something new that God's doing. And so let's go on. And the Lord spoke unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. Now I want to tell you, Moses and Joshua were buddies. They worshiped God together. They went in the tent of the Lord together. They spoke to God together. They were buddies. But God said, that's over, start new. And so that's what he's going to do. And he said, now Moses is dead, so now get up, get off of this, it is time to mourn, and then get up and do what I want you to do. Okay? And all the people, and he said, I want you to, he tells them exactly what he wants them to do. Now we need to know from God what he wants us to do in our particular situation that we're in. So the very first thing to get the giants out is listen to God. Listen to God's direction, God's plan. You have to be in the Word of God. My servant is dead. Now to arise, go over this Jordan and do what you're supposed to do. Before he did what Moses was supposed to do. Now he's supposed to do what he is supposed to do. A lot of times somebody leads you to the Lord and they disciple you and they work with you and they take you to church and they get you started. But there's a point where you have to take over in the things of God. You can't rely on somebody else. You can't rely on your husband or wife. You have to take the responsibility and start listening to God and find out what he wants you to do. How can you imagine people standing before the Lord after they died, their spirit standing before the Lord, and God says, how come you didn't follow my plan? And you say, well, Lord, I didn't know what it was. Whose fault is that? It's not God's. And so find out what God wants. And it'll happen over a period of time. You stay in the Word of God and so forth. Now, he said, I want you to take all these people into the land which I do give to them. It was a gift. I give it to them. Salvation's a gift. Your soul is a gift. I gave it to you, God says. Now you have to do what I want you to do in your soul. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread, this was real estate for them, our soul for us. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates. So you got all the way from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the Euphrates River in Iraq was given to them. All the land of the Hittites, here we go, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your border. There shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you, God says. You have that promise. I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I've given it to you, but you have to take it. To the extent that you take the land of your life, your soul, and open it up to God, will be the extent of your rewards and inheritance in heaven. And so you understand that many people are going to be disappointed. Now, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I'm not talking about gearing yourself up, lifting weights and getting yourself ready. I'm talking about the work that we're going to do is a work empowered by God. We're not going to do our works. We're going to do his works. And when we do his works, he empowers us. In fact, he said, you're to rest in me. That doesn't mean not do anything. That means rely on the Lord for everything. Resting in God is relying on the Lord in everything in your life. That's what it is. It's not a big works trip. Works don't save you. Works are not going to keep you. It is going to be the power of God as you cooperate with God into where He wants you to go. Now, and when I say that, somebody says, well, I don't want to go to Africa. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in your everyday life that God guides you. That's what I'm talking about. Could be Africa, but probably not. Okay. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land. If you don't go in the land, you're not going to get any inheritance. The land which I swore unto your fathers to give them. Only be strong, very courageous, that thou may observe to do all the law. Now when it says law here, it means the word of God, the Bible, the word of God. The law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper in whatever you do. Now, this was more than the Ten Commandments. This was the whole counsel of God. The book of this law shall not depart out of your mouth. That means if you're not in the Bible on a daily basis, at least for 5 minutes, you are playing games with God. And you'll remain in the wilderness the rest of your life. I'm just telling you how it is. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, do you want me to tell you the truth or shall I make up something? You know what I'm saying? You don't get big crowds with this kind of message. You understand? And I understand that, but my job is to do this, and I do it. But it says, not only are you in the Word of God, you think about it, you meditate on it day and night. And it says, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shall thou make thy way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be and good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. So one of the big things here, study the Word of God, get in the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, think about the Word of God, get the general plan of God that He has for the entire ages, and we're doing that on Wednesday night. We're going through the Bible in a survey course to get the general plan of God. We try to give you all the tools necessary to do the job. And so it's necessary that, you know, I'm just going to tell you the truth, and I'm not mad at anybody. I love everybody here. But I'm just going to tell you, if you have no desire to follow God, if you don't have any desire to get into the Word of God, if you don't have any desire to follow the plan of God for your life, if you don't have any desire to tell other people about Jesus, get saved. Because you're kidding yourself and everybody else around you. I've always heard about a situation, you know, somebody's dying and, well, are they Christians? Well, way back there, somewhere back in the wild blue yonder, they said a prayer. Did they ever go to church to any extent or read their Bible? No. Get saved. You understand what I'm saying? If I can rattle somebody's tree to understand what this salvation thing is all about, it's getting the gift of God and grabbing a hold of God for the rest of your life. It's not some playground just to mess around with this or that. Oh, I think I'll ride on the swings today. Well, big deal. You see, it's not that way. A person should absolutely know they're saved and have a desire to do the things of God. Or something is very wrong. And it could be your soul's full of giants. And that's what we're talking about. Get that cleaned out. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lifetime project. It's a journey. I don't think it happens in 5 seconds. I'm not saying there's never a case where somebody just doesn't save somebody and the next day they're preaching for the rest of their life. But that's not always the case and usually isn't the case. Because I know that I still have giants to battle in my own life. I really do. That's part of this Christian life. Now, so we want to get a specific word of God. We just don't want some general word of God. We want to know the general plan of God, but then we want a specific plan of God for ourselves. And God said very specifically to Joshua, Moses is dead. You can't rely on him anymore. He has done his work. He is going to stand before the Lord for what he's done. Now get busy on your own ball game. And he says, here specifically, Joshua, what I want you to do. I'm going to tell you exactly what I want you to do. I want you to go into the land and clean out the giants. Now, I'd say that's a general thing for every single one of us, you see. And some people just give up and say, this is too hard, I'm not doing this. And that's okay, you have that right. But the issue is I want to speak to people that want to go into the land of their life and clean out the giants. That's the ones I want to talk to. The rest of you can go to sleep or whatever you want to do. But the issue is that this is my mission, to tell people the truth, to get them to the place where they go into the promised land, tell them how to do it, and then help them and encourage them and pray for them to do it. Because I'm not going to be around forever, and most of you are younger than I am, and so you got quite a bit of time yet, most of you. And so I want to get you ready, though, you see. Now, the Word of God will encourage you to do what God's called you to do. There isn't any other way to do it. If there was, I would tell you. The only way you're going to be grounded and stay in the right place and do the right thing is the Word of God. Now, the Word of God will encourage you to go forward, just like God said to Joshua. That was a spoken word, but it was written down for our purposes. God spoke this with his mouth to Joshua, but it was written down in our Bible to show us how he works. It's a pattern. Somebody said the prophecies in the Old Testament are patterns as to what we're supposed to be doing now, you see. And so we need to, God will encourage you to go forward. We're not supposed to build a museum because it's all over. You know, presidents do that. They have a presidential library, they call them. And you can go in there and find out the whole career of so-and-so. Well, that's interesting. But what about your career? It's interesting going to museums, but God said your life's not to be a museum. People have things in their houses, you know, and I'm not against this, but I'm just saying, you know, the antiques, they call them. Well, they're nice to look at, but you usually don't do anything else but look at them. They don't help you in your everyday life. It's just something you look at every once in a while. Isn't that right? God doesn't want our life full of antiques. I'm talking about our life for Him. That's past stuff. Oh, I'm looking for the present. I'm looking for the future. I'm looking to stand for Jesus with a clear soul and conscience and so on. And that's what I'm looking at. Now, verse 8 says something interesting. He said, not only do you read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, but you speak the Word of God. I'm telling you how to get rid of the giants now. You speak the Word of God out of your mouth. You speak it. You talk about it. How many know it's better to speak the Word of God than cussing God out? Isn't that right? Which some do. And so we're to meditate in it. We're to think about it in our mind. We're to speak it out of our mouth. And then we are that you may observe to do it in your life. Not just fill up notebooks, not just memorize scripture, do it in your life. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now do the Word of God. Important. And when you do the Word of God, God speaks to you, you meditate on it, you speak it, I tell my wife, God spoke to me about this, I'm supposed to do this. How good would it be if I just talked about it and didn't do it? No. I'm going to say, God wants me to do this, I'm going to do this, and guess what happens? He tells you something else. You do that, he tells you something else. That's the way it works. If you don't do it, you're stuck. They didn't do it, they died in the wilderness. They never got to the promised land, most of them, because they didn't do the word of God. In fact, they didn't want to get too close to God in case something jumped on them. It was really something else. God said, bring the folks down. Let's have a conversation. And the people said, no. no, thank you. Moses, you talk to God, and we'll stay in our houses. And then after you talk to God, then you tell us what he said. Isn't that interesting? And none of them arrived except two. Now, I want to go back to this garden thing. It's just very similar to planting a garden. I planted some flowers yesterday, and I did this stuff that I'm going to talk about. First, you get rid of the weeds. Then you dig a hole, plow the ground. Then you plant the flowers or the seed or whatever it is. This is God's word. I went by a building the other day, nice looking building, but it was totally abandoned. And I looked out in the parking lot, and every crack in the parking lot had weeds growing up. What happens in your life if you don't do what God says? Weeds grow up automatically. You don't have to plant them. You don't have to water them. You don't have to do anything with them. They're just going to come up. And that's exactly the way it is in a Christian's life. If they don't do the practical things that God asks them to do, they're just going to get clogged full of weeds, and you know where that's going. Not any place. Now, well, I'll mention something later, but let's look in Joshua 5. We'll just keep going here. This is really interesting in here. This whole thing, this whole book of Joshua is about getting rid of the giants in your life. That's what Joshua is all about. Okay? Joshua chapter 5 and verse 2. And here it says, At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make you sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made sharp knives, circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua did circumcise all the people who came out of Egypt, who were males. Even the men of war died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. And now all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness, by the way, were not circumcised. So in other words, the parents didn't teach their children how to get saved. Can you imagine such a thing? They'd been delivered out of Egypt, one of the greatest miracles of all time. 2 million people delivered out of Egypt to go out into the wilderness, and they never told the story to their children. Now, I'm sure there's nobody here like this. I'm sure your children know exactly how you got saved, the circumstances about it, and the wonder of it, and all of that. I'm sure they know all the details of it. I won't ask for a show of hands. You see, we get another thing here. I mean, they ought to know everything about your salvation experience. They ought to know what it is to get saved. You know, this nonsense about just let the children grow up and let them make their own decisions is the biggest bunch of baloney that the devil ever threw out there. we are to teach them the things of God. Don't leave them to the public schools. Don't leave them to all these other places they go. Teach them the principles of the Word of God. Tell them about Joshua. Tell them what happened. Tell them about this thing. Let's go on. So now, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till the people who were the men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they, what? Obeyed not the voice of the Lord. That's why they died in the wilderness. They didn't obey the voice of the Lord. Well, you could, oh Lord, Lord, I know I didn't obey you, but Lord, I didn't know what, I didn't hear your voice. I didn't get it. I didn't get the plan. I didn't. Oh my. He would show them the land which the Lord swore unto their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to bless them. He wanted to put them in a place where they'd be blessed. He wanted to put them in a place where it was almost like the Garden of Eden, because things just grew like crazy. And they didn't have to just kill themselves to go out. The stuff just grew. It was just amazing. And their children whom he raised up instead, that Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, for they did not circumcise them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done the circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were healed. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of that place is called Gilgal unto that day. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Well, you know what circumcision is, I hope, and I won't have to go into that detail, but the issue is they had to cut away flesh that wasn't necessary. They had to cut away flesh that was in the way. They had to, basically, the picture of that is cutting things out of your life that are hindering your Christian life. Cut things out of your life that are hindering your Christian life, that are clogging up the pipe from God, that are causing you not to get excited about Jesus. You see, you have to cut that stuff away. God didn't do it. He told Joshua and the people to do it. You have to do it. I have to do it. If you got an appointment on Sunday morning, cancel the dumb thing so you can come to church. You got to cut stuff away that messes up your spiritual life. I'm sorry, but it'll make a difference when you stand before Jesus in heaven. Are you listening to me? There's a reason to do these things. God's trying to tell us how to live life that we're going to be blessed in the next one, which is going to be a lot longer than this one, you see. So he says, circumcise the flesh, all your self-centered plans for your life, all these worldly desires that can harm you, cut them away. Confess all known sin. Get rid of that stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The giants won't leave if the following is in your life. If the person does not want to change their lifestyle, that it caused the oppression in the first place, that opened the door to the devil, they're not going to leave. You can forget it. They aren't going. They don't have to. They have a right to be there. If the person doesn't believe in the giants in the first place, they have a right to be there. Somebody says, I just don't believe in demonic spirits. I know Jesus cast them out, spent a fourth of his ministry doing it, but I just don't believe it's for today. We are much more educated and wiser than those folks. Anybody believe that? I don't think so. If you don't personally confess sin, audibly renounce these giants, they don't have to go. So can you imagine the people living, if you saw what these things looked like? In many cases, they're the slimiest, ugliest things you could possibly imagine. Makes a cockroach look like a pet. and to compromise and live with these things on a daily basis is amazing. It's just amazing. And the other thing is, if you do get them out and you don't clean up that part of your life, they'll come right back and seven times worse. That's what the Word of God says. Somebody says, I'm going to confess all the sin in my life. And they're confessing all this stuff, and they confess the whole list, and they're all cleaned up. And then somebody says, okay, now accept Jesus Christ. No, I don't want to do that. Seven times worse, they're going to come back. And that's why you see sometimes people sit in church for years and never accept Christ, and when they die, they can't. They can't. Because their heart gets harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. The worst thing to do is to hear the truth of the Word of God and not do it. Because that part of your heart will get hard like a rock. And you can't do it when you want to. That's the sad thing. And I don't want to hear anybody hear that way. And it's, I didn't even hardly get started on this message. It's time to quit. But I've got a lot of interesting things I think will be interesting to you. I did want to say one thing. I want to leave you with this one. Jesus said two things we are to do. We're to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbors, ourselves. I'm going to tell you an interesting thing about love. You ever know anybody that married somebody and then they just kind of ignored them the rest of their life? You ever know anybody that way? People do that. They get married and they just kind of neglect each other, and then they're shocked 10 years later when that other person wants a divorce. What happened? They didn't nurture things. I planted those flowers yesterday, but guess what happens if I neglect them the rest of the summer? Well, there's going to be a weed patch. The weeds are going to choke them out, and the things need to be watered. You need to check those things every day. You need to pull the weeds out as several times a week. You got to nurture those babies. That's the way our love to God is. You can't neglect God 6 days a week and expect and say that you love God. Because it's not true. And so we're just getting down to the reality here. I may have a handful next week, but I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to just tell you. Now, if you get married, if you're serious about that marriage, you're going to nurture that mate of yours the rest of your life. It's kind of like, because I'm going to tell you, if you don't, weeds are going to grow up. Weeds will grow up in everything we neglect, whether it's in our soul, or whether it's outside of us, wherever it is. If you don't nurture and take care of something, it will deteriorate. It'll go to nothing. What if you bought a brand new car, drove it in the garage, and left it there for 100 years? What would happen 100 years later? I doubt if it would start. Tires would rot. That's true. Now, that's what I'm talking about, the Christian life. You've got to nurture this thing. You have to nurture your relationship with God. It just doesn't keep going automatically. I didn't say you'd be lost and not go to heaven. I'm talking about having a vibrant love relationship with Jesus Christ has to be nurtured on a daily basis. Good morning, Lord. I love you. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to sleep for a while. I'll be asleep, but I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, what can I do to nurture? What can I do to nurture this relationship? What can I do, Lord, to get closer to you? I want to get as close to God as I can possibly get. I'm going to nurture this thing every single day. I am going to talk to God every day. I'm going to pray to God every day. I'm going to be in my Bible every day. I don't care if it's for 5 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever you can have. But I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to neglect it. I'm going to nurture this, and my relationship with God's going to get better as it goes. Now, that's the same way with other people. And I've got some things to talk about that, but we'll get into it another time. Let's stand before the Lord.